could stop with Dre making moves, attracting honeys like a magnet, giving them orgasms with my mellow accent. Still moving this flavor with the homies Blackstreet and Teddy, the original Rough Shakers.
Welcome back to RBKD, Way Back Rap Wednesday, Old School Hip Hop Hunt Day, and it is a Ric Flair Wednesday edition of RBKD. I just got to get that out. Astros got me real hype. We did talk about the Astros' dramatic win to tie the series with the Red Sox 2-2. We'll get back to that conversation. We also will talk some Longhorn football, go behind the burnt orange curtain, and we got some big news we got to hit here in the 4 o'clock hour, first segment of the 4 o'clock. So we'll do that here momentarily. My man John Reichel back there twisting and tweaking the dials. It is Wednesday, which means you have DJing duties for karaoke.
That's right,
sir. Common Interest tonight, correct?
8 to 2 a.m.
Ooh, that's right. So he's getting ready. He's hooking us up with a little old-school hip-hop hump day jams, getting him ready for his karaoke duties. And that song right there, a little Blackstreet, you said that's one of the most requested karaoke songs?
No diggity, yes,
no
sir.
No diggity, no doubt. Man, it's such a, I mean, it's not a bad song.
It's a crowd pleaser for sure.
Yes,
sir. And there's two versions. There's the Blackstreet version, and there's a Chet Faker version, which is a little slower and doesn't have the rap parts in it.
What do you say, Chet Faker?
Chet Faker. He's another musician.
Oh, I didn't
And he
know
does
that.
Kind of like a slower version that's more like.
Of the same, of this song?
Of
the cover?
Song, yeah.
Oh, really? I've never heard that before.
It's like more like Get Down type song, but it doesn't have the rap part either. But those two versions of that song get requested every night.
So it's more of an R&B
exactly,
feel to
yeah.
it. Okay, I got
Another
you.
One's like, this one's more of a party one.
Yeah, this one is
like
a club,
ladies.
The club mix for it. Yeah, interesting. I never heard that before. I do remember that song, though, being a jam in the club. I do remember people losing their minds when they would play that. Blackstreet. All right, so we're playing some old school hip hop hump day jams coming up a little bit later on the show. We did give a shout out to Snoop Dogg. This is his 50th birthday. And of course, it's a Way Back Rap Wednesday. So it fit right into the model. So we did play a little Snoop Dogg. And we might get some new Snoop Dogg. Who knew? All right. Thanks, listeners out there, for setting me straight. All right. I plead ignorance. I didn't know Snoop Dogg was still making new music. I didn't know that.
Or cutting albums on the reg.
Or cutting albums. Yeah, I had a texter out there call out my black card, said I should turn my black card in. They should take my black card, but it ain't because I'm not keeping up with Snoop Dogg's discography. All right? Should take my black card for other reasons. It ain't got nothing to do with my knowledge of Snoop Dogg. all right, we got breaking news. Let's get right to this breaking news. Shout out to my man CB, who's always working real hard for all of these sports programs here in Austin. But Chris GB002000, he sent me this via Twitter. It comes from Mark Berman, Fox 26 in H-Town. The tweet says, Texans are working toward a potential deal that would send Deshaun Watson to the Miami Dolphins. That could get done this week, if not this week. They still hope they can get it done before the November 2nd trade deadline, which is coming up in a couple of weeks. So they're working with the Dolphins, and the Dolphins are putrid right now. They are basically have the only – I believe the Dolphins are the only team with a bottom five scoring offense and a bottom five scoring defense. And the defense used to be really good. All of a sudden, the defense has turned into a dumpster fire there with Miami, too. So Miami's just looking for they're not rebuilding totally, but they need something to rejuvenate their organization. The Texans are waiting, right? They're in the waiting game. They're waiting on some clarity with Deshaun Watson situation. They won't get any of that until the depositions begin for the civil lawsuits. Those depositions will not begin until after the Super Bowl. So we're talking about February of 2022 is when they will find clarity with the civil situation going on with Deshaun Watson. Nobody except the police and investigators, federal investigators, know what's going on with the legal ramifications of Deshaun Watson's issues and the allegations toward him of sexual misconduct. So we don't really know if there's any legal consequences that the team will have to deal with or that he's going to have to deal with in the future. There's still the NFL. Right? The NFL could still suspend Deshaun Watson. They haven't. I don't know what they're waiting on. Maybe their investigation's not done, but they haven't decided what they're going to do about Deshaun Watson. He is still technically on the active roster for the Texans. I mean, he's one of their quarterbacks. He just sits at home in street clothes, and I think he practices sometimes, but man, everybody understands he's never going to play another down for the Texans. And so does the Texans front office. And initially they wanted 3 first-rounders and either 3 players and or picks. I don't know exactly what the Dolphins are offering. Something tells me it's going to be more in the realm of they'll get a quarterback in return. So if they're going, if they're trading with the Miami Dolphins, they're going to get Tua in return, and they'll probably get 2 first-rounders with Tua. He will be considered the 3rd first-rounder in that deal. And I'm assuming they'll negotiate the Texans down from they want a 2nd round. I think they wanted multiple 2nd rounders. They'll probably end up with a 2nd rounder, a 3rd rounder, and then another later pick for the Texans. And I still think if there are no legal ramifications to the allegations against Deshaun Watson, the Miami Dolphins will still end up, you know, with a top 5 quarterback on a team-friendly contract. Which is in his prime, by the way. Top 5 quarterback who's like 25 or 26 in his prime going, you know, with a team-friendly deal going to Miami. So as long as this stays in the civil world, then I think the team can justify bringing in Deshaun Watson as soon as there are charges filed. And right now there haven't been charges filed, no legal charges filed. And the HPD is investigating. There are rumors that there are federal authorities investigating some of these allegations as well. And we have not yet heard of any formal charges being brought. I don't even think there's been a grand jury hearing to, you know, try to bring an indictment or anything. So we don't know what's going on with the investigation, but the Texans, if they're trying to trade Deshaun Watson, maybe they have done their own due diligence and they have found out that, you know, that maybe there is no legal, maybe there are no charges that are going to be brought. Maybe there are no legal consequences to what's going on. Not saying that it is justified what Deshaun Watson did, and not saying he didn't do anything wrong. But being a creep and being a disgusting person is not necessarily against the law. So I think the question is that in the situations that he found himself in with these women, which obviously the allegations are serious and pretty disturbing, that if they found evidence that he did something illegal, that was true sexual misconduct that you could prove, they definitely should be able to verify that with some of the other 22 other ladies that, you know, filed civil suits against them. So, yeah, looks like Deshaun Watson is going to be on his way out sooner rather than later. If you're the Texans, you have to make the move. I know some people are saying the Texans should wait to try to get maximum value for Deshaun Watson, but I think the concern is that if there are charges brought against him, then his value drops precipitously. Then you're going to get nothing for him. So maybe they're trying to speed up this process just to make sure that they can get some value for him, at least adequate value for him, before the fit hits the shan, if it does indeed hit the shan, if it ever does. So I like the move by the Texans. They got to move on. They can't be stuck in this purgatory forever. And that's where they are right now. They're just stuck. They got a starting quarterback they just paid a ton of money. Not starting quarterback, but a franchise quarterback they paid a ton of money to a couple of years ago, and now he wants out. And as an organization, you didn't handle it well, so you've lost all credibility with him, and you don't have any lines of communication with him. He doesn't trust the organization, and now I think things are way past the point of resolution. So now you got to trade him. And you got to try to get maximum value. So I like the move that the Texans are. I like them trying to get it done as soon as possible. You don't want to wait around. Some people are saying, wait around to the draft next year. Teams will be more desperate, and they'll give you more. Maybe. But maybe by then, also, HPD decides, yeah, you know what? We got enough to file charges. If they do that, and that's scary. And I don't know if, you know, police departments announce they're not going to file charges. They may, but sometimes they never announce that. Right, they just say, oh, it's an ongoing investigation. And then, you know, no charges are ever filed, or there's never really an update. But for this situation, they're going to have to try to get some clarity on whether the investigation is closed or whether it's done, the official legal investigation. They're going to have to get some clarity on whether that's done before. If you're Miami, I'm sure they have their own private investigators who they put on the case too. You got to hire some private dicks and put them on the case and say, all right, you know what? We got to have you guys look into the background of Deshaun Watson. Go talk to all the women who have made the allegations. Go talk to his attorney, Tony Busby, and go find out if there's any substance to these allegations and these rumors. So, and if they found out, and I'm sure they did that to a certain extent. I don't know how deep they dove, but I'm sure they did. And they probably found out that, yeah, it looks like it's going to be a civil matter and not a legal matter. And if it's a civil matter, not a legal matter, NFL teams are, they're not going to be scared of going all in to try to get Deshaun Watson. All right, that is the breaking news there from Mark Berman of Fox 26. All right, let's get to these Big 12 midseason awards. There are a few of these. So I looked at, I was reading the Big 12 media site, and they had the Associated Press, their midseason awards. They decided to give out, I didn't even know they actually did this, gave out Associated Press's midseason awards. And one of the things that had Longhorn fans upset was that they had the freshman of the year, basically. The first half freshman of the year award, because they didn't give out the official awards. But they said Caleb Williams. He's one of the midseason honorees. And he's only started only one game, and they're going to give him the top freshman of the conference award. Longhorn fans are upset because they figure Xavier Worthy should be in that conversation because he's actually started every game for the Longhorns as a true freshman, and he's got some great stats. How about this? Xavier Worthy has 9 broken tackles. He's averaging 9.3 yards after the catch per reception. So 9.3 yak yards per reception. And he's got more deep receiving yards, receiving yards on passes 20 yards or more down the field than any other freshman in the country. So I think Longhorn fans have a valid complaint about the Associated Press saying Caleb Williams is the top freshman for the first half of the season. So Longhorn's got a pretty good one. And there's some other really good freshmen out there too. I mean that are at least in a conference that are playing really well. But I think Xavier Worthy, it's going to be hard finding a true freshman that's having a better start to the season. But Caleb Williams, with that performance he had in the last game for Oklahoma, I mean, that was a big win over TCU, 52-31. Did not see them putting an Old Testament-style butt whip and a 50-burger on TCU, and he looked good. I mean, that offense looks different now with Caleb Williams at the helm rather than Spencer Rattler. Crazy thing. And Spencer Rattler, by the way, has taken Oklahoma. This means a lot in the world of young people who have been immersed in social media, who grew up in social media. What your bio says on your social media accounts means a lot. Spencer Rattler took Oklahoma off of his Twitter bio. I feel stupid saying that. Like, that is something that's breaking news, but it actually is breaking news these days when a young athlete decides that he's taking Oklahoma off of his Instagram bio. Thank you, John. I feel like, yeah, TMZ over here. But, yeah, I mean, that's basically what's happening. So that, to me, that's like, a couple deciding that, on Facebook that their status is now single, or isn't there one that's uncertain or something? And there's status on Facebook when you're in a relationship, then there's single, and then there's like unsure.
There's complicated.
Complicated. There you go. Boom. And it changes, like, from in a relationship to complicated. And it's like, oh, I wonder what happened with Susie and Bob. Now it's complicated. It's like, well, all right. But that's what people do these days. So he changed the Instagram bio. He took Oklahoma out of the bio. Used to have Oklahoma QB in there. Now just has quarterback. That's big time. It means something. So look into that. All right, look into that and take from it what you will. But he might be hitting the transfer portal, and I would not be shocked at all if he's in the transfer portal. Nobody would be. The Sooners have they've been the beneficiary of the transfer portal a ton. And hey, man, what goes around comes around. They got to lose a great quarterback through the transfer portal. Wouldn't be the first or the last time. And looks like Caleb Williams though is the real deal. But I agree with Longhorn fans, though. I think X-Man has a better argument to be top freshman through the first half of the season if the Associated Press are giving out awards, considering Caleb Williams only has played one game. But if Caleb Williams only started one game, he's played two. But if Caleb Williams actually ends up, you know, starting the rest of the season, which he will, and he stays healthy, yeah, he's going to be the freshman of the year in the Big 12. There's no doubt about that. They also gave out Offensive Player of the Year the first half, and of course that is Bijan Robinson. No doubt about that. Bijan Robinson, in my opinion, is the best running back in the country. I think the Michigan State running back is probably also in that conversation, but man, he's exciting in so many ways. I was just looking at, he's 73 yards away from getting to 1,000 yards. I honestly think that Sark should make it a priority. Listen, you got to win games. You got to fix your second half issues. You need to make sure you're able to counter the adjustments of the opposing coaches better. There are some things that Sark's got to work on. But Sark is a skilled enough offensive mind where he can accomplish multiple things at one time. So he can fix the issues going on with the offense, continue to develop the talent on offense, make sure they are familiar with the scheme, all those things. But also, make it a priority to get Bijan to New York to the Heisman Finals. I mean, he is actually he might be the best offensive player in the country. He's definitely in that conversation. But, man, the momentum that you'd get of having a guy just in the Heisman, as a Heisman finalist and in New York for the Heisman Finals, I think that'd be something that you could capture momentum. We know this because Mack Brown did it. Right? Mack Brown ended up harnessing a lot of momentum in 98 when Ricky won the Heisman. I don't know if Bijan's going to win the Heisman. Because he had the big stage games, the Heisman moments were Oklahoma, Oklahoma State, Arkansas. And in those big games, national stages, everybody watching, yes, Bijan played great, but Texas lost the games. You know, if you win those games, then the Bijan storyline, I think, is a little bit more relevant because you lost those games. The Bijan storyline just kind of dropped to like the third or fourth most significant thing people were talking about. After Oklahoma State and Oklahoma, nobody was talking about how great Bijan was, even though he was great. Right? Got to win the game so that then people would discuss, well, why'd they win the game? Well, they won because they got the best player in the country. Boom. And so I think for Sark, the last five games, I'd make a push to just funnel usage to Bijan and try to get him into the Heisman conversation. And I know it's going to be tough, but, man, he's got like guys like Joe Klatt and Reggie Bush. You got national pundits, national analysts who have said publicly they believe Bijan's the best player in the country. So if you start enough of the buzz down here, and you can do that because he is the real deal, you just got to get him the ball. He'll make the plays. If you just get him enough touches, man, he's going to make spectacular, highlight reel-worthy plays. He's got 66 forced missed tackles right now. That leads the country, at least the nation, in forced missed tackles. And a lot of it's because he doesn't have a dominant O-line, so he ends up having to make these really spectacular moves that shows off his very diverse skill set as a runner. Shows off the total package, the stiff arm, the balance, the spin moves, show everything off. And it ends up, you know, I think making up a lot of Heisman-esque worthy plays. And he also has 19, 20-plus yard runs since 2020. That is second only to Breece Hall. And honestly, by the end of the year, he'll surpass Breece Hall in that category too because he's just that freakish. So if I'm Sark, among my second half season goals that I put up there, fix the second half offense, and, you know, continue to develop talent, all those things, fix the O-line, come up with a more competent solution for the O-line, throw in there, get Bijan to New York City. He deserves it. He can be there. He deserves to be there before he leaves Texas. He's a sophomore now. He ain't staying 4 years. Somebody there said him, running backs shouldn't stay 4 years. Not running backs are as special as you. So if he doesn't make it this year, then you got to make sure he makes it next year. Then he can do it. I think you can get him there this year. Because this year seems easier because there are no, there are no front runners. Bryce Young, Matt Corral. There's nobody right now leading the Heisman conversation. Make Bijan one of the guys. Make him a front runner. You can do it. You can do it in the next couple of games. Now, yeah, you got to – he's going to have those 25, 30-carry games a few times. But I mean, you're not necessarily playing for the to get to the Big 12 title anymore. You're playing to win games. And the best way for you to win games is to get the ball to Bijan. That's the best way for you to win games. So you kill two birds with one stone. You want to win more games, and you want to get that young man in New York City, and you want to harness a ton of momentum the way Mack Brown did in 98, which led to the 99 class, which I was a part of, which was the number one class in the country. And you don't think a young 17-year-old Rod B was very impressed with Ricky Williams winning the Heisman, the rebel with a cause? Of course I was. Texas became the it school then. It was the coolest school to go to. It was the it school. It had the young hip coach. It just had the best player in the country in Ricky Williams, the coolest, taking pictures on magazine covers and wedding dresses with his head coach. He had Master P as his agent. I know it wasn't the smartest decision now in retrospect, but damn, it was cool back then. Speaking of an old school hip hop hump day, do you know about that, John? You know that Ricky Williams hired Master P as his agent? Yeah, he did. But, you know, I mean, Texas was the it school. It was a ton of momentum, and it was a ton of just that cool factor surrounding the program at the time. And I was sucked up in it. How could you not be? That's how you got Chris Sims to get sucked up in. He was the best offensive player in the country. You got Corey Redding, who was the best defensive player in the country. He got sucked up in. Everybody did, because it was just a whirlwind of momentum. And how about, by the way, A&M had won the Big 12 title the same year. The same year they won the Big 12 title, right? So even with all that momentum, you still had forces that were trying to, you know, impede your progress as a program, but there's nothing they could do about once Mack was able to, you know, kind of not only start off winning games, because that's important, but, you know, Ricky wins the Heisman, then the next recruiting cycle, he's the number one recruiting class in the country, and then, boom, it just steamrolls from then. He really did. And I think Sark can do that. He's got a chance to do that, because he's got the Arch Manning recruitment happening in 2023. You got the best player in the country, potentially, in Bijan Robinson. You got a chance to have that type of whirlwind, you know, a windfall of momentum to harness it. You got to win, though. You got to win. And the best way to win, give it to Bijan. Best way for Bijan to get to New York, he needs the ball. All those things work together, in my opinion. All right, we come back. We'll get into this beef happening between Cowboys fans and Pro Football Focus, because it's getting downright dirty. Cowboys fans now are just straight up disrespecting Pro Football Focus and calling it trash, because they have some less than complimentary stats about the interceptions leader, Trevon Diggs, who's making a lot of history. But it does go to something I've said about defensive backs these days. So we'll get to that on the other side. We'll talk some Cowboys. There's one, I don't want to be negative, because the Cowboys are killing it, and you know, the Cowboys' defense has taken huge strides, right? They're opportunistic. They make plays on the ball. There's one thing Cowboys should worry about as it relates to their defense, but I do believe once they get healthier that this won't be an issue either. We'll talk about that when we talk about the Cowboys on the other side. Oh, yeah, and also a Cowboys player in trouble with the law. Now it seems like old times. All that and more right here on RBKD, right here on 104.9, 101.9, and AM 1260. Makes us harder, better, faster, stronger. That don't kill me, can only make us stronger. I need you to hurry up, man, cause I can't wait much longer. I know I got to be right, man, cause I can't get much stronger. Man, I've been waiting all night, man. That's how long I've been on ya. Welcome back to RBKD, Way Back Rap Wednesday, Old School Hip Hop Hump Day. My man John Rocker doing a great job. Little Kanye West for you. I like that. Best thing about Kanye West is I don't know if there's any rapper out there, honestly, I might go entertainer out there, that is less predictable. No, yes. What type of style? Like, they come up with a new album. I have no idea what Ye's new album is going to sound like.
No idea.
No idea. No idea. You just don't know. But you know what? I give him credit for that. He constantly reinvents himself, even when he doesn't need to. Usually, reinvention is out of necessity. Like, I got to reinvent myself. I have to, because what I'm doing right now isn't working for me. Kanye can be at the peak of his game and will reinvent himself for almost no reason.
He'll throw away an album and then start a gospel album.
Yeah, because
out of nowhere.
Out of nowhere. A gospel album. He's got a couple of those. I got to tell you, I got into his gospel albums a little bit during COVID. I went back to some Kanye gospel, and man, Kanye gospel is pretty damn good. It's not bad. I'm not going to lie. It's not
bad. There are some good tracks on that album.
There are some good tracks. He has tracks. I would say it's about Kanye tracks. He has a lot of his albums now. Even, was it The Life of Pablo? It's one of them, too. And his latest one, Donda, which essentially is like a, it's like a dedication to his mother. I mean, the whole album, I believe, is like a dedication to his mom. There are certain songs that you'll listen to it initially, and you won't like that song. And you go back like a year later, and you go, ah, that song's not bad. A lot of Kanye's music is like that to me. Retrospectively, I enjoy it more.
There's a lot of artists like that. Gorillaz, for a new one, and I've heard people say that about The Doors.
Oh, I can believe that about The Doors. I can believe that.
Some people who are like fresh to The Doors. I'm not talking about people who grew up with it, but come to it, listen to it, and like, what's this guy about? I really don't get it. And then come back later, and then like, oh.
We had one of those in college because I had, my man Chris Sims was a big Doors fan.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, big into The Doors. So he broke it down, too. And, yeah, a lot of deep existential stuff when it comes to The Doors. So I like that. Anyway, Old School Hip Hop Hump Day. So we'll be playing some more hip hop jams all throughout the show. Shout out to the Astros. Go Astros! I believe we are in the top of the second. They are up 1-0 on the Boston Red Sox. So we'll keep you abreast of everything going on with the ALCS Game 5. Yordan Alvarez with a home run. His second of the series, I believe, too. So Astros off to a hot start. I believe I'll give you the Red Sox stat, though. This is what worries me. I saw this. The Red Sox are 5-0 immediately following a postseason loss under Alex Cora. They bounce back like the rubber band man. They bounce back pretty damn well. So it's going to take everything the Astros got, but Astros have just got to win two out of the next three, and they got two of those at the juice box, so that's good news for them. All right, good news for Cowboys fans is that Trevon Diggs is balling, like balling out of control. We haven't seen anything like it. If he ends up getting a pick in seven straight games, it'll be something the NFL has never, ever seen before. He will truly make history. He's already made history. There's never been a player in NFL history who has gotten seven picks and also two pick sixes in the first six games. That's never, ever happened. But they've never had a player get at least one interception in the first seven games of the season. That's never happened before. And every time we keep, you know, thinking to ourselves, there's no way Trevon Diggs is going to get another interception. No way. Yes way. It happens. Right? But here's the feud happening between the Cowboys fans and Pro Football Focus. Pro Football Focus has done a great job. A lot of people are very skeptical of Pro Football Focus and their deep dive analytical numbers. I'm not. I take everything with a grain of salt. My man John Madani, who got me into this radio industry, had a great saying, would always say, stats are like a bikini. All right? They show you a lot, but they don't show you everything. So you got to take it with a grain of salt and just kind of use it. And I like what Pro Football Focus does. It gives me a good base to kind of start my own deep dive analytics. And that's what they do. So I appreciate what they do. But they grade every player, and they claim to grade every play, have their own algorithms to grade every play, grade every player. And so they come up with their own Pro Football Focus grades. Now, Trevon Diggs is on his way to being Defensive Player of the Year right now. If you look at the odds for Defensive Player of the Year, currently the Vegas odds for who's going to win Defensive Player of the Year, he is only right now behind T.J. Watt and Myles Garrett. And those guys, they were top two best odds to win Defensive Player of the Year to start the season. But Trevon Diggs was probably, oh, man, he had to be, I don't know, like the 60th player or something, the 60th best odds to win Defensive Player of the Year. But I digress. But now, of course, he's probably the front runner by most people's projections. So Pro Football Focus had their grades, their latest grades released, and they have right now, they have Trevon Diggs ranked 61st out of 118 qualified cornerbacks. They got him as the 61st best overall grade of cornerbacks out of 118. So Cowboys fans are livid. They are upset. This disrespect would not go unavenged by Cowboys fans. So they've been on social media, some keyboard gangsters going after Pro Football Focus, calling it trash, and saying this kind of proves that Pro Football Focus is a bust and that they don't know what the hell they're doing over there. I will say this, though, and I've said it before, that really, Trevon, there are no shutdown corners anymore, right? People have been calling Trevon Diggs a shutdown corner. Trevon Diggs is not really a shutdown corner. He's a playmaking corner. I've said before, shutdown corners don't exist anymore. And if they do, they're really, really rare. They're the real outliers of the world, like the Jalen Ramseys and Stephon Gilmore, right? They're much rarer than everybody thinks. I mean, it goes past being an endangered species. I think they might be extinct, but they just, you know, there are no shutdown corners because of the proliferation of the spread, right? They spread you out. You can't shut down the side of the field. They can throw a decoy at you unless you're shadowing a certain wide receiver. And usually teams can find a way to manipulate the coverage with formation and get their best player in a favorable matchup. They do that all the time. And the shutdown corners back in the day, like Deion and Rod Woodson, Charles Woodson, Champ Bailey, they would literally shadow receivers around. You don't see as much anymore. You see it sometimes. Jalen Ramsey has done it. Stephon Gilmore, you've seen it, but it doesn't happen as much. And Trevon Diggs doesn't really do that either. And maybe they'll start doing that with Trevon Diggs because he's demanding that type of respect and credibility. But Pro Football Focus claims that if you look at Trevon Diggs' numbers, and I said this too, Trevon Diggs gives up a lot of plays. Now, he makes plays, which is all I care about, because I said even for the Texas DBs, you know, people are like, man, they always get beat. DBs are going to get beat. That's just the way it is. You're a cornerback. You're going to get beat. In a modern era where your passing games are so complicated, they're so complex, high level, they're built on efficiency and precision, you're not going to really shut down a passing game. What you need to do is go make plays on the ball as a DB. The more plays you make on the ball, everybody forgets about when you get beat. If you look at it, Trevon Diggs has allowed the second most passing yards to opposing receivers out of all corners in the league. It's allowed 419 passing yards. Who cares? Cowboys fans don't give a damn about him. He can allow 500, 600 passing yards. He'd allow the most passing yards of any cornerback in the league. But when you're getting 7 interceptions, you can forgive him getting beat on an out route or getting beat on a hitch route or getting beat on a skinny post. That doesn't matter as much because he's making tons of plays on the ball. He actually leads the league not only in interceptions, but if you combine interceptions and PBUs, he still leads the league. That's what I care about. That's why, and I think it's a new age of corner because he takes a lot of chances. In most corners, they tell them to err on the side of caution, right? You want to be conservative because you don't want to give up the big play. That is not how Trevon Diggs operates. He operates with the mentality of a wide receiver. When the ball's in the air, it's his. I played with a guy like that. Nathan Vasher was like that. He's tied for the all-time leading interceptions here at Texas. Some guys, when the ball's in the air, they legitimately believe in their heart, with every fiber of their being, that it's theirs. That they have more of a right to it than the receiver. It's my ball. I can never program myself to believe that. I wanted to believe that. I wanted to be that guy. Charles Woodson was like that. Rod Woodson like that. Deion's like that. I was never a DB that could have that type of mentality. Because when you have that mentality, you're so aggressive. Oftentimes, guys can get behind you. You can get beat. And that was always my fear, right? I didn't want to get beat. I couldn't give the big play. Because I'd get benched for a Nathan Vasher or a Michael Huff or a Cedric Griffin. And they weren't taking my job. All right, and the easiest way to get your job taken or to be benched, giving up easy touchdowns. I ain't doing that. So I understand the different mindsets for these DBs. And Trevon Diggs, he also, how about this? He ranks 28th in coverage by Pro Football Focus because oftentimes he bait, because they go off, they're grading coverage on how you stick to your receiver, right? How close you are to your receiver. Is there room? Is there a passing window there? Trevon Diggs baits quarterbacks. You've seen that before as a fan watching the game. He'll lag behind a receiver and break almost as soon as the quarterback releases the ball with the intention of, okay, now I got him. He thought he was open. No, he's not. Ball hawks do that. He's a ball hawk. Right? They can afford to bait quarterbacks into that. Like I said, I was never a ball hawk, so I can never do it. I think it's one of those natural, intrinsic things you're either born with, you either got it, or you don't. And Trevon Diggs, he's a wide receiver faking it as a cornerback, and it's working out for him. So I understand the Pro Football Focus grades. And as a run defender, by the way, he's a terrible run defender. Not terrible. He's not good. He's not a good run defender. He's actually one of the worst graded run defenders by Pro Football Focus. And that also contributes to the overall grade of you know him as a overall player. His coverage grade, they got him ranked 28th in coverage, but they got him 61st overall. And like I said, I understand some of the coverage grades because he likes to bait quarterbacks. He admitted they played that the cover two. He actually ended one of his interceptions was in the Carolina game, and it's a coverage that has him playing the deep safety as the cover two, right? He's playing the deep safety, a deep half, and he breaks and really gives up his deep half responsibility to break on a deep crossing route. And when they asked him about it, he said, I knew they wanted to throw that crosser. Yeah, he knew they wanted to throw that crosser. He's got great instincts. But they also had a post route that was cut that was actually, you know, breaking right behind him. And he didn't care about that. The quarterback didn't throw the post. He was right. The quarterback wanted to throw that deep crosser, that deep drag. So some of it's just instinct. So basically his coverage grade was poor on that play probably because his responsibility was the deep half. But he didn't give a damn about the deep half. He cares about the ball. He's one of those guys. So I'm saying everybody's a little bit different, but that's why he has a low Pro Football Focus grade. But you're right, that doesn't mean a damn thing. He's a baller, and he shows it every time he makes a play on the ball. He's allowed 0 yards receiving with the game tied. That's from ESPN. ESPN said, and he's number one in picks and number one in PBUs. He's allowed 100 yards when Dallas has the lead. So, you know, I think that, yeah, I actually believe the Pro Football Focus grade might be low. Doesn't mean he's not a good player. He's one of those outliers that the sabermetrics and the quantitative analytics really cannot necessarily, they can't really grade him adequately because he's so instinctual and he's such a, like I said, he's such an outlier, such an aberration to their statistical algorithm and model. All right, well, late for the break. We'll come back. We'll go off the record. You know what? Let's talk about the all-time great hip-hop artist who may have given one of his teams, his city's professional players the Bubble Guts. Yeah, I know it sounds crazy, but it actually happened. All that and more. We'll return right here on RBKD, right here on 104.9, 101.9 AM, 1260.
D.D. Mega Doo-Doo, I'm sorry, Mangoodoo.
Once it's turned on, the sign will spell out Deli Cat Essen.
Well, I don't get a brain man comb.
Well, congratulations. Continue good sex in the Big East. Thank you, Jimmy.
And boom goes the dynamite.
It's time for another edition of Off the Record.
Do it live. I'll write it and we'll do it live. F***ing thing sucks.
Welcome back to RBKD. Time for another edition of Off the Record. Yesterday, this wasn't an off-the-record story yesterday, but it was a story, part of the conversation we were having about the Tennessee Titans pulling off the big win over the Bills. They did it with a great effort from A.J. Brown, who had 7 receptions for 91 yards. Before the game, a lot of fantasy football folks out there were stressing who had A.J. Brown on their fantasy team because the reports were he was not going to play because he was dealing with a lot of intestinal issues. He had the BGZs. He had the bubble guts. Well, he ended up playing in the game anyway, and after the game, the media asked him, hey, what happened? We heard you weren't going to play, then you ended up playing 7 receptions, 91 yards. It was great. And he said, yeah, I just had to fight through a stomach illness. I was, you know, at the bubble guts. He said he got IVs before the game. In our house, we call it shooking. It's puking, another word, but you get it. So he had that going on, but still played, had a great game. But when they asked him why he had the bubble guts, he said he ate Chipotle before the game. Boom, threw Chipotle under the bus. And we all know Chipotle doesn't have the greatest reputation these days. So, yeah, that was a story about the bubble guts. And as a former athlete, I can tell you that it happens. Sometimes that bad game one of your favorite players has, you're like, I don't know why he had a bad game. It was the bubble guts. It happens. It happens to you. It happens to them. I've played for two separate years. I played at Texas where it happened, where a player on the field, all right, had an incident where he couldn't control the bubble guts, and it got the best of them or the worst of them. All right, we got white pants, so we faked it like it was an injury. Y'all didn't even know until I told you. Well, I would never tell you the name. I will go to the grave and never reveal that. But anyway, we got another incident here. Okay, so this is Jackson Carmen. He plays for the Bengals, right? So he asked Twitter what local spots He should check out in Detroit when the Cincinnati Bengals were on the road playing the Detroit Lions. So the Cincinnati Bengals offensive lineman put out there on Twitter, all right, to all of his tweeps out there, like, hey, man, you know, where can I go to eat in Detroit? You know, let me know some spots and I'll go check it out. So somebody suggested to him, hey, you should try Mom's Spaghetti. It's a restaurant in Detroit owned by Eminem. And yes, it is in reference to the famous song lyric from Lose Yourself about his mom's spaghetti.
If you only have one shot to eat at a restaurant in Detroit, you have to take that one.
You should do some advertising for Mom's Spaghetti. You got some clever ones.
They're
going to
need
there.
It now.
They're going to need it now. So he went. Jackson Carman went to Mom's Spaghetti. I guess he liked it. I don't know if he had spaghetti or not. So the next day, come time for Sunday's game, there was speculation that he might not. Oh, he did play. The speculation came after he was seen throwing up on the field. He was spotted throwing up on the field, puking on the field, and then he had to be carted off the field. And they took him off the field in the cart. Some people were like, oh, man, what is this? Is it COVID-related? What's going on? And on Twitter, he revealed he was sick because he had eaten at Mom's Spaghetti. He tweeted out, quote, would not recommend eating Mom's Spaghetti when you visit Detroit. So he threw them under the bus and basically said it was Mom's Spaghetti.
Wow.
The Twitter fam out there who suggested it apologized and said, man, that's on me. I apologize if that's what got you sick. Cincinnati did win the game 34-11 and beat Detroit. So now Cincinnati is 4-2 actually on the season, and the Lions, my old team, 0-6, not surprisingly. But how about that?
Yeah, Detroit took two L's that day, both in terms of sports and their cuisine.
You have an interesting theory about this, though, that I think you should share with the people.
Yeah, so I'm thinking, if we're going to go into the twisted mind of Eminem,
exactly.
I think what they did was, okay, this is the plan. We're going to give this NFL player a serving of food poisoning. It will make television, and he will talk about it. And when asked what happened, he'll say the name of our restaurant. So now, Rod, we on the radio are now talking about this restaurant. Now everyone now knows that Eminem owns a restaurant called Mom's Spaghetti.
This is true.
And even after you told me that story, I'm like, wow, Eminem has a restaurant called Mom's Spaghetti? I'm now very curious just to know more about it.
You're thinking if I'm ever in the neighborhood near 8 Mile, I might go visit Mom's Spaghetti.
Exactly. If anyone
might not eat there, but I might go visit.
Might at least look at it, go into the gift shop. And if anyone's going to pull off this guerrilla marketing stunt, it would be Eminem of all people.
I know. When you said that, when you presented that conspiracy theory, I was reluctant to jump on that grassy knoll. And so I started thinking about Eminem's lyrics to his songs. I could easily see this as a lyric to one of his songs and kind of mocking the rest of us who are just fans of his who would go to Mom's Spaghetti just because this is a story that went viral and we didn't know that he had a restaurant, which I didn't. First
exactly.
time I figured out he had a restaurant was this story.
He's also the kind of guy to make fun of people like, you went to a restaurant that I owned? What do you mean?
And you went there after a guy got sick from the restaurant that
exactly.
I owned?
Like, what
idiot?
Makes you think I know how to handle food?
Exactly.
I'm a rapper. I don't know cuisine.
Oh, like, yeah, there's a chance Eminem could serve you at the restaurant or something?
Yeah,
no. He's not going to wait
he's
on you.
He's not going to be there.
Wow. That is, so that's two times in less than 3 days. We've had professional athletes claim the bubble guts from one from a national chain and one from Mom's Spaghetti. But you're right. Just because you get a reputation for giving clients or customers, you know, some type of sickness, some type of food poisoning,
sure.
doesn't keep them from going to your restaurant.
People will go.
People went back to the Chipotle after their incident.
Do you think more people will go to Eminem's Spaghetti restaurant now that people are now talking about Eminem's Spaghetti restaurant?
I don't know if they'll go, but definitely more people know about it.
More Google searches.
That's what you want, right?
Yeah.
You want to get trending.
That interaction. Playing
it's
the
happening.
Game.
It's happening. All right. Man, that was a crazy one. We got a crazier one for the next Off the Record at 5:45. But coming up on the other side, we'll get to talking some Astros, give you an update on the Astros and the Red Sox Game 5 of the ALCS. And we'll talk about last night's dramatic win for the Astros. All that and more right here on RBKD, right here on 104.9, 101.9, and AM 1260.
Bucky and Aaron.
And it's Whitney with her hair all jacked up and stuff. I don't, it's not a good one. It's after hanging out with Bobby Brown for a night or something. Everything was going good. She met that dude.
Yeah, like she was in that movie with Kevin Costner. She was so gorgeous in that film.
I know. Wasn't she gorgeous?
What was that movie called? The Bodyguard?
The Bodyguard. I wanted to punch Kevin Costner right in the face then, too.
Saved her life.
What do you mean?
Saved her life. He took a bullet for her.
You know what? I think they had a little something going on during that time, too. Maybe that pissed Bobby off.
Mornings from 6 till 10